And I'm going to turn it over to William.
I'm going to bring something out here first. I don't know if any of you noticed this, but I just want to give a testimony about this and how important it is that we post things in our house that remind us of our purpose here, right? When you come to know Christ, we all have a purpose, one purpose. It's the same, to minister the gospel, to minister the truth about our Savior, our King, the one that set us free from this world and the troubles in it. And so I have this in my office. And I see it every day. And this came from a man that went to a church that I attended for a time. He knew his days were limited here on this earth, but he knew where his heavenly home was. And he brought all these paintings he did. And I said, Lord, I want that one, but I'm going to wait until everybody else gets theirs, because maybe somebody else wants it. I sat back and I watched everybody go up and get these paintings. This one was left because he just wanted to remind me how important it is that I see this every day, and I do. I see this every day. When I go to my prayer closet, that's where my office is, downstairs, and I go there, and I have pictures of all these people I've ministered to throughout the years, and I get to see them, and I get to pray for them, and I have this sitting there to remind me to go and make disciples and have them baptized. And not only that, we have a responsibility after that to build them up in the church. Right? So guess what? I was called to do that today with you. Praise God. I'm thankful that I was called. I've answered that call, that same call he gives me every day. And I'm just going to leave that there. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to start by saying that, you know, we do have a good church here, a good church family. You're all so lovely to me, but you're even more precious to him. You know that you're his most precious possession. Every one of you are in this place. Everyone is. Why? Because of this right here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And today, as he entrusted me with his greatest possession, you, all of you, and I am beyond thankful, so thankful. God has supplied me with everything I need. I am fully equipped to give you the message he's given me to give. He's given me his spirit, he's given me his truth, he's given me his gifts, he's given me his power, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. And this message, when he gave it to me, it was all week long. The pastor came to me last Sunday after or before service, I think, and mentioned it, and I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to do it, no matter how nervous I get, because really the nervousness I have isn't because I'm nervous about being up here. I don't have a problem talking to people. I get excited about Jesus. That's where I get nervous, because I get so excited about his word. And we all should be excited about his word. And so I had a message, thought it was all prepared, and then I don't know, Julie, was it yesterday morning? It was yesterday morning. God said, that's not all I have for you. Friday, I thought I had something ready, right? It's like, good, I'm ahead of the game. God says, that's not all I have for you. So I go back downstairs. I don't know how many hours I was down there. And he kept giving me all this stuff. I said, well, Lord, I know I don't have a lot of time here. I'm talking to him this way, right? I'm saying, I don't have a lot of time. How am I going to fit all this in? He says, don't worry. And I had one page from the original sermon, right? One page. Guess what I end up with? One page. And he had me add so much to it, and I still end up with one page. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And I was so amazed. And the first sermon that I had, I read it to Julie, and she just said, oh, that sounds good. That was on Friday. But when I brought her this one, and I read it to her, she started weeping. I started weeping, and she started speaking in tongues. And I'm praying that the Spirit will fill this place right now. Father, fill this place with your Spirit. And let the same thing happen in this place. Let everybody experience your power, your truth, your glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, like I said, his power, and he's given me his power. He's called me to administer those resources faithfully. So that's what I'm going to do. And let me begin by asking you a simple question. Where are you? It's a question that God has been asking man ever since the first man, Adam. And we're going to go to Genesis 3, 9. We're going to read that. Did they get those up? I'll go to mine. Anyway. But we all know, I know you've got to know this, Genesis 3, where God says, "Where are you?" to Adam. Adam's hiding from him. You just got done sinning, right? Break of the one commandment that he was given. And then he tries to blame it on God, like we all do sometimes, right? The world does all the time. Well, why would God let you do this or do that? Well, it isn't God, it's sin. Sin causes the problems in this world, not God. God is out to save everyone, every soul. So, anyway, so Genesis 3:9, the Lord, the God, called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So that's the question I have for you today. That's the question God has for you today. Where are you in your faith? Where are you in your faith walk? It's a walk, and it's a walk with Jesus. Why am I asking this question? Because just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, so we're all sinners and fall short of God's glory, and we all need a Savior. Sinners have always tried to hide themselves from God. That's what the world does. They're trying to hide themselves. You know, I seen on TV the other day, and I couldn't believe it. It was on Newsmax, and yes, I watch Newsmax. It's about the only news I watch anymore. There is these furries. They call them furries. And they're on college campuses, and they're dressing up in furry costumes like animals. And it's a club. And what they're really doing is because it's a lot of it's LGBTQ and people like that are afraid. They're afraid of who they are, and I get it, because when I was in my sinful nature, I was afraid, and I hated what I was, and I did everything to hide from God and cover myself up with drugs or whatever. It's just something different, but it's the same thing. We all try to run and cover up, right? That's what they're doing in the world. And I'm not picking on any one person, because we're all sinners and fall short of God's glory. Sinners have always tried to hide themselves from God. God will not tolerate hidden sins. If you hide your sins, you will not succeed, he says. And if you confess and reject them, you will receive mercy. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And that's what I do every time. I know I'm saved by his grace. It's no longer I that Christ, and Christ lives in me, but I hate my sin, so I want to reject it. That's why I confess it. I say, "God, I hate my sin. I don't want to do it." Just like Paul, he said, "I hate my sin. I don't want to do the things that I do. I don't do the things that I want to do." So we all have those moments, right? So just when you're in that moment, don't forget. We have a love. He's our Abba Father. He's not just our Savior. You could cry out to him, just like my kids can cry out to me. Right? When they're in trouble, they know they can call Dad, right? They know they can call me and they can come to me and I'll comfort them. But sometimes when we were little, they would hide from me, right? It's kind of the same way, right? We do as children with God. We hide from him. Where are you in your relationship with God? Have you chosen the difficult, dedicated path towards a righteous life as opposed to the easier, broader path that leads to destruction? And that's in Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Many. God doesn't want anybody to go through that gate of destruction, that wide road to destruction. He wants you to be on that narrow path. And it's difficult. It is so difficult sometimes. And I remember my faith walk in the beginning, how difficult it was. It gets better, though, as you grow in the faith. It does get better because you learn to trust God more. You have more faith in what only he can do, and you see him working in every situation in your life. So, have you committed to a life of true faith by following God's teaching through Christ? Jesus, the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life? John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way. He's that gate. He's that place that you go to. You go to Jesus, you confess him as Lord, and you know that he died for your sins, and you know that God raised him from the dead, and you no longer belong to this world, you belong to him by confessing him as Lord. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus is the way to the Father. He is also truth and life. As truth, he is the revelation of God. As life, he is the source of our very being. As believers, we have access and connect with God the Father solely through Jesus Christ, who acts as the mediator, and at the very moment we are made sons of the living God. And how is this connection made possible and sustained? By the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. By the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have a personal and intimate relationship with God. So you have to stay in that fellowship. You know, and this is it right here. We have our sword right here, the Word of God. This is what he's given us. We have the Spirit within us, but we have to feed the Spirit. And we feed the Spirit by being in the Word. And we go in the Word and eat it. They literally like would say, eat your word, Lord, because they know how much power is in the Word. You know, and so just get deep into the Word. Don't leave your first love, man. Just stay in that fellowship. Stay in that place. And then we have that in Galatians, or John, yeah, you're right. You got it right. 14:6. We already had that. How about, is that right? Nope. We're down to Galatians 4:6 now, right? Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's what I said. He's Abba, Father. And whose Spirit? Spirit of his Son, Jesus. You know, I minister, and I would always say, Jesus spoke to my heart. And this little girl one day said, Mr. William, how did Jesus speak to your heart? I said, well, he's right there. That's where he's at. He's in my heart. She goes, well, how does he get there? What do you suppose happened? That was her time. That was her time of salvation. She came to the Lord in that moment. And just because I said those words, I mean, I ministered, I gave her crosses, I gave her bracelets. Every time she came in, she'd come and sit, but I would keep telling her about Jesus, and I keep speaking that same truth. Jesus spoke to my heart. Why do you do this? Jesus spoke to my heart. Whatever, right? So, and all glory belongs to God. It's not me. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. But we must remain in him as he also remains in us to bear good fruit. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, I'm looking over there because I don't want to get anything wrong. Right? I asked God one day, why don't I memorize scriptures like some of these theologians do, right? And I do memorize scriptures, but just not the way some people do. He said, I don't need you to. Carry your sword. Always have your sword with you. Never worry about it. So we got the word up here. If you know, follow along in your Bible so you're working out your own salvation. And Jesus is the true vine and the Father is the gardener, right? Sometimes we get in a mess, right? And we need a little trimming. There's the Father, right? He's going to trim us. He's going to do whatever it takes. So when you find yourself in a bad situation and you don't understand why, look at your faith walk. Look at what you're doing, okay? Make sure you're staying in line with God's Word and doing what he says. Because we all get off that path. I do it, still do it, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. All because of Jesus, my Savior, my King, the one that set me free from this world and the troubles in it. I don't worry anymore. I used to worry. I don't worry about anything. I trust him. Maybe God's asking you that question today. Maybe there's no fruit in your life and you feel cut off from God. Maybe you've been trying to hide like Adam. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all and want to. And if that is the case, now is the time of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, In acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He had me bring that verse up, because his word up, related that, because you never know if you're going to have a tomorrow. You never know if you're going to have a tomorrow. So now is the acceptable time. If there's anybody in here that is struggling with their faith, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus, that needs to come up here, I say come up now. I love you, and Jesus loves you more, and he has a place for you in his kingdom. He wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't leave anybody out. He loves us all so much. And I'm praying right now, Father, if there's anybody in here, bring him forward. Anybody. Anybody. Well, regardless if you came up, regardless if you know Christ or not, I pray for all of you to stay on your faith walk, to stay connected to Jesus, the vine, the true vine, the one that sets you free. Stay in that freedom, stay in that place of freedom, and keep ministering the gospel to those that are dying in this world. Wherever you go, you can speak one word, or, well, several words, but it's one sentence or two sentences, whatever. I love you, but Jesus loves you more. You don't know how many times that has opened the door for me to minister the gospel and lead people to Christ. Those words, or even just asking somebody, how are you? Ask them how they're doing. I got off the bus one time after ministering all day at the fair, and I had one bus to catch. And I'm not giving myself any glory. It's God's glory. He said, you're going to miss your bus. You're going to ask that lady how she's doing. You're going to minister to her. So it's late at night, and I asked this lady how she's doing, and she had a lot to tell me. So I missed my bus. And I ended up walking home. There's no other buses. But I praised God all the way home. He loves us so much, people, and I love you too. I love you all so much. I'm so thankful for Crossroads. I'm so thankful and for this opportunity to give you what God's given me. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. He loves you all so much. You're so precious to him. And I just want to thank you all for being a good church family. And let's all just keep doing that together, okay? Let's just be that one. Have unity together like we do, and just keep praying for each other and encouraging each other. Be a Barnabas. You know, I got my Barnabas, Julie, right there. She's my Barnabas. You know, she encouraged me all the time, and I get to be her Barnabas, encourage her all the time, and I get to do that here too, and I'm thankful. If you ever need anything, if I can help you in any way, I also have a lot of talents in painting and carpentry work, and that's another part of the ministry. Julie and I go out and build decks. We paint houses. We do all kinds of stuff. So if you ever need those things, and God a lot of times will supply the needs for those projects. We don't even know why we bought them, but God has supplied the needs. You know, we get a discount sometimes. And so we have a lot of paint. We have some stuff. So if anybody's in need of those things, I just want to let you know we have some of those things. Don't hesitate to let us know, okay? Thank you, everybody. Love you. Jesus loves you more.
Thank you, William, for sharing with us today, and William has blessed our lives so much. Him and Julie's ministry has blessed this church, and he's an inspiration to all of us. To each one of us can reach somebody else for the Lord Jesus, and so I want to thank him for sharing the word. Beautiful service today with wonderful news that God is doing in our midst, and we praise him for everything. As William was saying, it's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. Everything is about God and what God is doing, and we praise him for that. Let's pray. Father, we just rejoice in this time we can gather together today. We thank you, Father, that you always meet our needs, that you are the need maker. You're the way maker. We praise you for everything that you do, everything that you have done, and everything that you're going to do. We are a people that live with expectancy in our heart and life because, Father, we serve a great and wonderful God today. Bless this congregation as we go our separate ways, and may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.